Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on Valentine's Day 2012 to celebrate all the goings-on around the country because of shipped flowers.
Yeah, and I got to tell you something. There is no other person that I'd rather spend my Valentine's Day with than you.
Yeah. I can think of a few.
I had a nice dinner with my wife and some friends. And what did you do? Anything exciting?
No.
Okay, good. And did you get chocolates? Did you buy
I just buy stuff for my daughter, and that's that. That's as far as we go.
Yeah. Every day is Valentine's Day in my house, so I tell my wife. That way I can get – I'm off the hook.
Hey, every day is Valentine's Day. What do you want for me?
Right, exactly. Today's not special. Well, the world did get some special Valentine's gift. We got Apple again moving higher for the – I don't even know how many days now. But it's been moving higher ever so steady, and it's after the last earnings report that was wonderful, and now the iPad 3 that's coming out and the possible Apple TV. The stock is at 509, and after hours it actually approached 511.
Yeah,
and
it could be 600 by the time the iPad 3 comes out.
Yeah, or next podcast, either one, whatever comes first.
Yeah, well.
But you know that the stock is up 30% since Steve died.
Yeah. Yeah, what does that
pretty
tell
amazing.
You?
$100 billion in the bank and an incredible distance now from the number one and number two stock from ExxonMobil. Apple is just unquestionably the number one, the biggest, the baddest.
It's the biggest corporation in the world insofar as market cap's concerned, right?
Yeah, it is. Amazing, right?
It's kind of amazing. Could you consider, Burlington Northern with, enough tracks to go to the moon and back and all these 40,000 workers and moving stuff and being part of the infrastructure? They're worth, what did Buffett price them at? Like 25, 35 billion?
Yep.
And Apple's worth what?
What is Apple worth now? Upwards of what, $400 billion?
So you could buy 10 entire railroad systems.
It just goes to show you how powerful, seriously, how powerful technology and retail is. And the love of music, of course.
I don't know how people are listening to music as much as they used to when they were pushing the iPad. Have you noticed this? I don't see people. I mean the iPod. Have you noticed this, that people are not quite as plugged into these music players that they used to be? Or is it just me? I could be wrong.
No, because they're using their iPhones.
Well, I don't see them using the iPhones for this either. I think they're too fearful that the phone's going to go dead.
Well, the battery?
I'm just wondering if we're seeing a lull in the whole music industry.
I don't know. According, looking at the Grammys, it doesn't seem like there's any lull going on there. But, one of the problems, I think, is that you have a lot of these musicians that are just nothing more than copiers of other people's music that are just taking these things and mixing them together and people listening to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the originality is kind of out the window. As a matter of fact, that was if you watched the Grammys, did you see the Grammys?
I couldn't watch that much of it. I mean, it seemed like a Grammys for retirees or something. Everybody was an old rocker from God knows when. And then the newer stuff was just kind of, let's try to outdo Lady Gaga. Excuse me. And I was not impressed with the performances or pretty much any.
Really?
I didn't find any toe tapping songs or anything that was kind of, interesting. Adele was good, but.
Oh, Adele was good. Bruno Mars was great.
I must have missed that.
He was in the beginning. But, and speaking of Lady Gaga, I don't know what she was wearing, but she kind of had a fence on her face. Did you see her?
Yeah.
That was. That was her meat outfit was better than that.
I'm wondering when she's going to give up on this and actually just be a musician. I mean, she's a pretty good singer. I don't think she needs to do
great
all this
singer.
Bull crap.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens. I put a chart of Apple on the attachment there. Do you see that little ditty went from this year? It's gone from, 420 to 520? We'll call it 510?
Yeah, it looks like it's heading for a disaster.
It is clearly a parabolic move. I thought that the move from about 460, that gap up to about 490, 495, was a little bit of a exhaustion gap, which is where you see a lot of people finally say, okay, I'm getting in, I'm being done with it, I'm just going to move into this. And it would kind of start to just consolidate a little bit, maybe roll down just ever so slightly, give some people an opportunity to maybe get in who hadn't. But nope, no stopping at this point. And I don't know. This is usually not a chart pattern that lasts very long. Now everybody's going to be saying, "Oh, this is Apple. This is Apple." Yeah, I know. But we've seen Apple. Look at, you know, the chart also shows 410 down to 370, and then up a little bit and down a little bit. Apple right now is going up out of control because everybody has to, you know, be in it if you want to be in the market. There's such a large market cap component of the NASDAQ and the NASDAQ 100. Which is also giving a lot of power to the NASDAQ, why the NASDAQ is doing so well of late and why the NASDAQ 100 is leading. It is upwards of 20% of the NASDAQ 100.
Huh.
So, you know, you have a day that that Apple's up 1.5%. I mean, that's, you know, 30 basis points right there for the NASDAQ 100.
Yeah.
That's a pretty substantial amount right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
So price targets are all the way from 550 to 650. I saw 650 recently. And, you know, some people are even calling for 1,000. You know, that's kind of in the background. But Apple looks pretty good overall. But I will say that it is very due, unfortunately. And everybody can, you know, throw eggs at me. But, you know, it is just a stock. It isn't a superhero. It's due for a little bit of a pullback here. Doesn't mean 5, 10%. I'm just saying it needs to come down a little bit from these heights that are a little bit elevated.
I hope it just keeps going.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, because I think that makes it for a better short.
When?
Well, I mean, this is, again, you know, like Netflix. When is the question.
Yeah, but this really has some earnings. I mean, there's a whole different animal here, isn't it? Isn't it? Although, again, we could I guess, look at Microsoft of years past, right?
Yeah. Microsoft never had a run-up like this. It was more steady.
Oh, in the early days it did.
No, it was more steady. It was never like this.
Well, what stock can you compare to this besides a Netflix? I mean, it's not a Netflix, but something with a decent amount of Amazon, maybe?
Netflix.
Okay. Okay. Oh, boy. Now, one of the things I thought was really interesting. Have you seen this Liquipel?
Yeah.
Is it real?
Yeah.
And it doesn't harm your phone. Now, tell everybody what this is about. This is so cool.
This is a process. I'm not sure exactly what they're using, but there's some sort of a non-destructive solvent that carries some sort of a coating of some sort. I don't know, some proprietary product. And they put your phone in it for like 2 or 3 days. It's not something you do overnight. And
but they do it for you. You have to send the
phone. Yes, you can't do it yourself because it apparently takes a – I don't know if it's in a pressure chamber. I don't know. They don't talk about the details.
Yeah, they say it's in a pressure chamber, space technology, of course, and something about nano –
Yeah, like nano particles in there or something. Again, it's a proprietary system, but everybody says it works. It's a little inconvenient because you lose your phone for a couple of days, but it makes your phone waterproof. Now, that said – why do you want your phone to be waterproof that you'd pay $80?
Well, because if you drop your phone in the water or even get it a little splashed on sometimes, the thing is kaput.
I've never seen this problem, especially with the new smartphones that don't have keyboards. I mean, what can go bad?
What do you mean what could go bad? My son was riding the jet ski, and he had I guess he kind of zigged when he should have zagged, and the little box inside where he kept it got wet, and the phone's dead. Done.
What's he doing with a phone on a jet ski? You can't make calls while you're on a jet ski.
Well, I want him to have a phone on the jet ski in case he needs any help or something like that. But I also want it inside of a waterproof bag, which seemed to have escaped his understanding.
Okay, well, besides that incident, what other – I know people that – they have dropped the phone in the toilet because they put their phone in their pocket and they bend over to flush and boop, the phone falls into the toilet.
All right. Well, what about?
That's never happened to me, by the way. In fact, I've never – my phone, if it even gets a little wet, I mean, I just wipe it off and put it in my pocket. I don't need this. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. You don't need this. But wouldn't this be great if a phone came waterproof. Just might not, you know, you get it delivered to your door like a normal iPhone.
People aren't going to pay the extra $80. They'd rather, I think it's only a very limited market. They're, I'm reminded of the waterproof camera that Olympus came out with. They had this great little pocket camera, waterproof, and they kept, and they always showed demoing it. It was in a fish tank taking pictures, you know, just without any sealer around it or anything. It was perfectly waterproof. Nobody was interested. I don't think that it would sell that much more, not for the additional huge cost.
Yeah. All right. Well, just a thought.
I think
it was
something
cool.
you, a member of the elite.
Yes.
You need one of these, you know, sealed phones. So when you buy the next one, you buy another, so you have to get that sealed.
Yeah. You're talking about the cutting edge, progressive elite. That's what you're saying.
That's it.
Yeah. This is a, just check it out. It's Liquipel, LIQUIPEL.com. I just thought it was super cool when I saw it. But anyway.
No, I think it's a cool process. It's just that it's something I'm not going to personally buy.
There's a couple of companies that were trying to put this out. Zag was another one. They just can't get it off the ground, it seems. They're the ones that make the InvisiShield and all that, which is not waterproof. But I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. Came across my desk, and I thought, hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Big news, by the way. Let me tell you, big news as we speak.
Yeah.
It seems that, once again, the news is, as you probably, you're not going to believe this, that Greece is getting closer to an agreement on something that's going to solve their problem. Now, this news has come out every single day, twice a day at least, and each time it comes out, the markets are also happy about it and move higher.
Huh.
Every single time, the news is the same. So they voted on an austerity bill that basically carves out.
They were supposed to do this like 2 weeks ago, and they're going to clamp it down, and it was not going to be talked about anymore, and it just never ends.
Yeah, it never ends. And they did. And then they postponed that, and they said they're getting closer. So
they made a point in saying we're not going to postpone it anymore. Wasn't that like a point they made?
That was a point. But then what happened was they did postpone it. They finally did have a vote, of course, before the markets in Asia opened on Sunday. And the vote was that they will actually agree to the austerity measures that were being imposed upon them by the EU in order to get the $170 billion bailout payment that was due. Now, meanwhile, as this is going on, the entire town of Athens is up in flames. The riots everywhere. People are freaking out. And why not? Because they're basically taking away social services, retirement benefits payments, and God knows what else and how many jobs they're losing. Now, here's my theory. If Greece was told that they had to basically starve everyone to death in their country in order to get this payment, somehow they'd vote for it. Seriously. It's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And their economy now came in today at a 7% loss. The GDP went down negative 7%, much more worse than was anticipated. And why? Because of the extra austerity measures. Now, how do they think that Greece is ever going to get out of this deal? You know, it's ridiculous.
It seems to me that they're doing this to put them into a mess.
It does seem that way.
We have a whole theory on the No Agenda show that kind of we've consolidated. That the idea is they're going to have a whole big pile of pipeline action going through Greece, and they want to privatize the oil companies so the public can't benefit from it.
So it's kind of like they're trying to ruin the country to put a highway through it.
Well, they're trying to ruin the country so they can say, well, the reason one of the part of the problems that we have here is that nothing, you know, everything needs to be privatized because they have a lot of they have government owned. Utilities, government owned this and government owned that. And so if they privatize everything, then it becomes a kind of a clone of the Russian state with all the oligarchs that take advantage of, you know, the kind of crony buddies giving them franchises. And then some people can make out.
Well, we'll see what happens. But here's what happens. So now we see that the end of the day today, the stock market in the U.S. was down all day. All day just cruising lower.
It was the same every day. It looks the same.
Cruising lower. And then in 20 minutes, it did a vertical move, just a straight-up move.
Already about, always about the same time.
Yeah, because a little news item came out that said, oh, it looks like Greece is going to, guess what, approve the measures required. No kidding, okay? This is after the retail sales came out today that were negative or worse than expected. They were 0.4, and they were supposed to be like double that. And there was, you know, some consumer confidence last week that was negative and all. And then this evening, wouldn't you know it, out of nowhere, there's a commentary that China is ready, quote, ready to get, quote, more involved with solving the euro crisis. So the euro spiked, the dollar came down, the S&P futures spiked like 10 points in a matter of 2 minutes. So everybody's excited now that obviously it seems that Greece is going to agree to whatever they have to agree to with an extra. By the way, there's another $300 million hole they found today that they had to solve.
Ooh.
China's going to come in, even though China over the last 2 days says that from their sovereign wealth funds and from the government that they're not going to be buying bonds. But meanwhile, this little rumor finds its way into the press somehow. And at the same time, the big vote and the final resolution on what was going to happen with the Greece bailout was going to start tomorrow in Brussels. But you know what they did? You won't believe it.
Tell me.
They canceled the meeting.
Oh, no. They canceled the meeting. People, do they get a refund on their airline ticket?
They canceled. No, they're going to do a teleconference instead. They're obviously being sponsored by GoToMeeting as well. But nonetheless, the the thing is that the constant delays and this constant kicking the can down the road are not – you know what it proves, I think, at the end of the day? That there's absolutely no plan in place, and they have no idea what they're doing. So there you go.
Sounds right.
Yep, yep. So anyway, at the same time, just to finish up on Europe, the Eurozone was whacked on Sunday. Or it was actually, Monday night. Moody's downgraded many Eurozone nations, their sovereign credit ratings, put UK on negative watch, which was something that wasn't there before. France was also scheduled for another potential downgrade. But no one cares. The auctions that went off the next day, particularly in France, went off at a lower rate than what before. So it's this kind of, I think the bashing by the governments of the credit agencies have worked well to the point where nobody really has any regard for them at this point.
Hmm. That could be.
We'll see.
So why were retail sales down, you think?
Well, they said that the auto sales component of it were down. And if you take that out, it would look a little bit better. But meanwhile, all the auto companies said sales were doing much better. So when you look at the components of this, it looked like it was a big chunk of the auto sales were kind of misread. So I don't know. You know what? The numbers have been so out of whack lately with what was either expected or I should say, I guess, even what seemed logical. That you have to wonder, you know, what's going on with the agencies that are actually doing the reporting. I don't know.
This will be the scandal of the 21st century.
I mean, I guess, you know, do you really think that maybe the politicians have power over the, this may seem like a naive question, but do you think that they really have that much power over the various agencies to make them, you know,
they're just on the same drinking club. I don't think there's any power necessarily.
So they're in the drinking club and they're all talking about, hey, we need things to look better.
Yeah.
Oh. So that they can stay in the same drinking club.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody's just, yeah. Because if you make it look bad, you know what? We may not reappoint you to your position.
Yeah, you might be out. You might be out of the drinking club. What do you think about that? Well, you got to go home to your wife. Oh, no, I'll do anything to stay in the drinking club.
You know, the other thing is that there really is no consequence for bad numbers.
No.
Like, you know, so what happens? Nobody gets arrested if they come up with numbers that were outright lies. Like, you know, if you Sarbanes-Oxley, one of the things is that if you are a corporate nobody says, hey, you're the head of the BLS. So if you put out numbers or somebody does under you that are knowingly wrong, you have the potential of having criminal action against you, just like Sarbanes-Oxley would do for corporations, right?
Yep. That's what they should do. They should just change Sarbanes-Oxley to only apply to these guys.
Yeah, they should extend it to government, just like the insider trading doesn't apply to government.
Right.
By the way, they're already postponing that whole
thing. Oh, no. I was watching this story with my wife and and I said, don't worry, this is not going to pass. They're just talking a big game until people stop paying attention and they're just going to table it. There's no way they're going to pass it. Why would they?
Right. It's too good for them. Why were they? This is the reason they got into Congress, it seems.
Yeah, and I think the argument will go like this, though. They have clever arguments. They finally have to come up with them. It's like, look, a lot of the stuff we do, we are invested in this and that, and then we do something in Congress, and now we're liable. So we have to be talking to our lawyer to pass laws because of this stupid thing? We can't work that way. It's impossible to get anything done if we have to talk to our lawyers about everything. You can't pass this. And that's the way it's going to end up.
Now, let me ask you, would it be so out of line to have people that are in the know like this to have blind pools, blind trusts, I mean?
Yeah, that's too much work. And by the way, there's nothing they're doing that you don't know about. There's not really – it's not true insider trading. That's the thing that they're going to argue that too. It's not insider trading. I didn't have the CEO tell me anything.
It's not so much the CEO, but if they're going to pass a bill or they're bringing a bill that deals with a particular health item.
Yeah, no, believe me, I know you're talking to the wrong guy, but that's not – yeah, but you can make the argument that you, Andrew Horowitz, could write up some bill about some company that you own and shop it around Washington trying to get him to pass it. Is that insider trading?
I suppose not, unless I had the – I don't know.
It's not. I think that I really don't think they're going to pass this because I don't think the argument – it came out as a – I don't know, some creative journalist came out and said, well, look what they're doing. And then they showed, you know, Pelosi in particular, who has, I guess, the worst offender to this whole idea.
Yeah, with her husband.
And then she got all bent out of shape with somebody asking her a question at a press conference. And so everyone got a lot of attention, but it's not going to go anywhere because it's not true insider trading.
Not only that, the beautiful thing is it's the old, you know, the lawyers are making the laws, so they're not going to make laws against themselves.
Yeah, it seems highly unlikely.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right.
They're not cutting their salary either, by the way. They said, stop the presses. Let me warn everybody. Stop the presses. They're not going to cut their salaries either.
Oh, what about their benefits?
They're not going to cut them, I can guarantee
you. No?
You'd think they would, but they just won't do it.
Are you telling me that the rich health care plan that they have for themselves that is fully paid for by the government is not going to be changed to coordinate with some of the other plans that are available for the common folk?
No chance.
No.
For good reason.
No.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't have to.
Right. They don't have to. That's all. They sit on a pedestal. They point. They make the rules. And they say, let them eat cake. That's pretty much it, right?
I think they say let them eat shit, but that's another story.
That's exactly right. So speaking about government, it looks like there is a change in the upper hand of the Republican primaries.
Well, again, I believe this is kind of rigged to go this way by the media in particular because they're the beneficiaries of a close race. And you'll see it in the presidential race too. You know, all these super PACs and all these, they got tons of money, and you get to create a real close race. And then they have to spend the money. Who gets the money?
No, the media. We've talked about this. The media gets the money. And you convinced me of that, by the way. You really put a light on, to be honest with you. I was like, you know, that makes so much sense. It's really ridiculous.
So the media is going to make sure this is close until they absolutely can't anymore, you know, like after the convention. And they're already talking about a brokered convention and all this other nonsense, which isn't going to happen. It hasn't happened for years and years, you know, decades. And it's just to get people to spend more money. And then they also point at the super PACs in such a way that just to draw more attention to them. Did you know all these rich guys can throw all this money in a super PAC without being audited or anything? And the super PACs are going to control the elections. The super PACs are going to spend that money on the media. So the media is actually in some odd way encouraging people investing in super PACs. I mean, they're cleaning up on this election.
And it is your testimony, sir, that it is maybe not total collusion, but it is a loose framework of all of the media doing this with the knowledge of the potential revenue. Again, the media drinking club gets together and says, hey, guys, listen.
They don't. It's one of those things. It's like the media is really good at this, by the way, having been in it and in it, of knowing without talking about it. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to say, you don't have to agree on anything. You just know it. And if I had a media company, I would know it, and I would be pushing for this close election. I would do it when Obama takes on whoever it is, which I believe would be Romney. They're going to keep that as close as they can for the whole thing. They make sure the money gets spent. And the media guys will just, you know, put the money in the bank, and then the election will be whatever it is.
And Obama's got a heap.
Oh, yeah, he's got going to have a billion to spend. And where is that going to be spent?
Putting, I mean, where else can it be spent? Well, maybe some signage.
Oh, sell media. Signage is media. CBS Outdoor.
Yep.
You know, Clear Channel Outdoor. It's all good.
Mm, I like it. Not to mention the various facilities, which is an offset of media. You know, finding places to speak and to campaign. And very nice. Very nice. At the same time, Obama and the White House are putting forth a budget that's going to increase the taxes on the wealthy, taxing dividends and ordinary income. And, of course, that's for the super high, very wealthy, extraordinarily impressive, of over $250,000 a year.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, well, that's a bad cutoff point. What they should do is go to $1 million a year and and then tax. Here, see how long this, how far this would get, Republicans or Democrats. Go to $1 million a year and tax capital gains at ordinary income. See how far that gets.
Well, that won't get very far because that would upset the entire stock market. And you can't do that because the stock market is all about what Obama and these guys are all about. You know, bring that up, bring the wealth effect up. Everybody feels much happier, much more comfortable, and spend more money.
Yeah, they just say they want more revenues. I mean, that's a suggestion. That would get you some revenue, and it would also keep people from churning.
Well, you tax the dividends, that's going to be a problem. Now, once again, now, of course, elderly people are not in the, you know, they're not wealthy, of course. No, no. They don't own, no, they don't, you know, because a lot of people who are retired don't earn $250,000 or more. I shouldn't say a lot, but
that's $250,000 taxable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it's AGI, adjusted gross income. So, you know, you're going to put this crimp on people who invest a lot of money in income producing investments. And we have to still see what the, you know, the whole qualified, unqualified dividends and what's going to go on. But that's
tax-free muni bonds, my friends. Get into that.
Exactly. Well, they want you to do that because that's going to help out the states.
Well, somebody's going to
do it. Such problems. Yeah.
Exactly. The whole place is a wreck. Now, we talked about the Baltic Dry Index last week, and everyone's grilled me about, what did Horowitz say? So why don't you listen to the show?
Yeah, listen to the show. I did say it was meaningless, didn't I?
Yep.
I said it means absolutely nothing because there's a variety of different indices that are related to shipping. But the Baltic Dry Index, everybody focuses on because that's all they know about. That's like the big one that was for years.
And you were going to bring up another half dozen of them.
I was going to. I didn't.
I see that.
But I will share with you, we do have a little chart there that since we said that the Baltic Dry Index is just in horrible shape, right? And that means, what does that mean? That means that shipping is grinding to a halt and there's no economy around the world and nobody's getting any materials. And that means all these horrible things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, meanwhile, let's take a little gander at just today's water shipping stocks, you know, the various shipping stocks, just today. And I'll share with you over the last couple of weeks, it's even more pronounced. See that little table down there?
I'm looking at it. I should have invested in New Lead Holdings.
Yeah, that was just today.
Yeah. So you think these things are about to pop?
About to pop? I think the popping has been going on. I mean, look at dry ships, which is a one that a lot of people like to trade. This one that's interesting, though, is Golar LNG Limited.
Golar, liquid natural gas.
Yep, they're shipping liquid natural gas around. And
that's
gonna be
goodie.
What's interesting about that is that China is looking to develop the fracking industry, the natural gas industry and all that. Well, it looks like they're going to be doing so, but it's going to take, I don't know, 10, 15 years to do so. Japan is trying to get away from nuclear. Now, I won't tax you to discover why that may be. You know, getting away from the nuclear, obviously, right? So they're going to go into the
maybe if they had an operation that wasn't corrupt and actually did what they're supposed to do running these plants, they wouldn't have these sorts of problems where they'd have to do something so drastic, don't you think?
Right. I think so.
Huh.
But one of the things they're doing is they're going to be looking for alternative energy sources. One of them is LNG. Now, LNG is basically we'll just call it the compressed version of natural gas where you can actually ship it around. It's able to be shipped versus just the gas.
You also put it in a tank and run your car on it.
Yeah, so LNG is, you know, this is being shipped. So that's one of the things that's happening. Actually, there was a big order for LNG ships, I think today or yesterday, by one of the ship makers. Hmm. Because some of the other ships that are, you know, like the dry ships and a few of those that are meant more for dry commodities, you know, the iron ore or copper or whatever it is to ship around. That's one thing. On the other side, you have the, we'll call it the wet, you know, the oil tankers, maybe LNG tankers and things of that nature. So there's this glut of tankers on the market. Now, many of these are down, I don't know, 90, 95% since they're high, these various stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, there's a little bit of a move on to move these things up. And again, you just see this big move today. Now, meanwhile, that's just today. You know, some of these are up 40, 50% in the last week or so.
I'm liking this penny stock down here.
Which one?
TBS.
TBS. Where is that one?
12 cents.
The last one?
It's in there. It's in your list.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Oh, there it is. TBS, yeah.
What do they do?
Yep. You know, same crap. There is some kind of a shipping. The big ones right here are Diana, TK, Navios. Let's see what else we got. Frontline, Dry Ships. Dry Ships is one of the ones that a lot of people trade. Eagle. EXM's not on here, though. That's usually one that's on. I don't think it's on this list here. But anyway, these things are doing pretty well. Golar has really been hopping along pretty nicely here.
Yeah, it's way up there.
Yep.
So that's still moving.
So I just thought that, you know, everybody was really concerned about this. That's almost one of the better times to start thinking about.
Yeah, buy low, sell high. That's a thought. Yeah. Never thought of it. Let me write this down.
There's two different things I like to do. It's buy low, sell high, and buy high and sell higher.
Yeah, or buy real high and short.
Yeah, oh, short and sell lower. That's also a good one. So, yeah, these things are moving very nicely, and there's some talk about them having further upside potential because they've just been so obliterated. Shorts covering. I don't know who was short Dry Ships at, let's say, $2 and getting squeezed on the short, right?
I don't know.
I mean,
it is pretty
funny. By the time it goes from whatever it was, I mean, way up there to $2, you think, maybe I'll think about starting to cover that short. I mean, what are you waiting for it to go to? To zero? Okay, it could happen.
It does happen once in a while. But
if you made 90% on your money, if you did it so great, if you made 50% on your money, maybe it's time to get out.
That would be my thinking, yes.
So anyway, that's what's going on. I also have a little picture of the Baltic Dry Index on there and shows you that it's gone up pretty nicely over the last week.
Yeah, it would have been a good little investment.
Yeah, you can't really. There's not really any way to.
They don't trade it as a derivative. No.
There must be somewhere. There's got to be something somewhere.
It's like going to Vegas. Yeah, they're trading on what color is the Gatorade they're going to dump on the coach. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's ludicrous. It's an actual bet.
Yeah, there's got to be. Well, I'm sure there's something there. But this has gone up since we talked about it last, about a week ago. It bottomed a week ago, as a matter of fact. Isn't it funny how everybody starts asking about it a week ago and it bottoms at that point?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And then it just goes right up. So it just goes to show you that sometimes the most painful trades are the best ones to make. They may be painful further, but you just got to sometimes let them sit for a little while. Like solar companies. Solar companies. No, seriously, solar companies have been on a tear. A few of them have gone bankrupt. But some of them are looking pretty good. China is starting to add some solar capacity and infrastructure spending.
They've got a lot of good stuff in China.
Yeah. But the big thing right now is the worry that there could be upwards of a 40% cut in subsidies from Germany. Mm. Now, Germany is looking to consolidate some of their spending for a good number of reasons. And we'll talk about maybe an idea I have on a stock when we get to that point.
Okay. All right. What else we got on our list here? A couple things.
You pick some.
JP or the banks. So I'm going to put a bank on my list for today. Bank of America.
You going long or short?
Well, long.
You going long. Everybody all of a sudden except for Citigroup, who downgraded today, by the way. Everybody seems to like Bank of America because Bank of America is in such solid shape right now and has such a big turnaround that happened recently.
Yeah.
Although
I think it's bogus, but I like the fact that every trader seems to be on Bank of America. So they're going to buy it up and then let the public suck up the last few 2 points so they can dump it. It's going to – I think – what's it at? What's it sitting at?
It closed at $7.99.
Yeah, it's probably going to go to $15.
Wow. Which would still be pretty pathetic.
It could go higher.
Yeah, with that
but I just don't think the whole economy can fake it that long.
Well, again, this is the same thing that happened with the Baltic. I mean, when Bank of America was like at that point of, oh my gosh, you know, got down to 4.95. And remember, we've talked about how if a stock is under 5, it has all sorts of new little things that may happen, like it can't be shorted as easily, it can't be owned by certain funds, you know, certain mutual funds have limitations and all that. So what do you do? Well, you want to own it, so you got to bring that price above 5. So it bounced off that level and just hasn't really seen a, you know, stopping on the way up since then.
Yeah, that's a good point. That should be actually a program that looks for that sort of thing.
Oh, you don't think there is one already?
Well, I'm sure there is, but I don't have it.
We didn't have to look at what's
something
coming
on
down.
Yahoo. I can just click on and say, "Here's your stocks."
Go to FinViz. Go to stocks that are you know, under $5 or less, however long. It's got to be a quality.
They might have something.
I was going to say quality stock, but a widely held stock.
Yes, widely held. Big difference.
Yeah, much bigger difference.
So it looks like the Light Squared deal is dead.
Now, wasn't it dead 2 years ago?
Well, it should have been once people figured out it didn't work without screwing up the GPS. I mean, that's
the
real
story?
Problem, you know.
This guy Falcone, he puts in all his he basically bets the bank on this deal, right?
Where plunge,
right? And he says, you know, this is going to be the next generation of telecommunications because it's just a far superior product. But the problem is that it just breaks down all sorts of other communications in this process, right?
Well, I think they were somewhat naive about this because I don't think a lot of people, in fact, realize how many automated and crazy systems are out there that use GPS to an extreme. I mean, there's whole massive, you know, million-acre farms that have tractors that just furrow the place with no driver. I mean, and this is all worldwide. Bolivia's got some of these. When you fly over some of these things, you go, oh, my God. And then you wonder how they get such a nice straight line for, like, as far as the eye can see kind of thing. And they're using GPS. There's not some guy driving this thing going, oh, that looks like I'm going in the right direction.
Those great squares that you see over like mid.
Yeah, and those are minor compared to the stuff you see in South America, believe me. When you see a real big one of these farms in South America that everyone talks about, when you see it from 30,000 feet, you just make your jaw drop. So it's frightening how big they are. But they're all done with – you can't do these kinds of things without GPS. You can't drive, you know, a 10-mile line straight as an arrow. You know, you just can't do it. And so this technology, the light square technology, the licensed spectrum that they had, impinges just ever so slightly on the GPS system, which is apparently not that, you know, on the money. Because no one ever expected it to have to be, you know, highly tuned. And all the farmers moaned and groaned, and it was just eventually, it would just obviously wasn't going to go anywhere. It had to die.
Yeah, and that's just one issue. We're talking about the big issue that was really a concern was the airlines. You know, you start – all of a sudden everybody's on their, I guess,
dealing with – Oh, yeah. You know, they would screw up the GPS and the airlines. It would – also the military was – once the military chimes in, I don't care what anybody – if it's only the military comes along and says, you know, this thing is kind of bumping into something we're doing and we don't like it being around and that's it. It's done.
Yeah, they don't get happy about that. So that's done, and I guess it looks like – I mean, this has been going down, down, down for some time.
A couple
of
years.
It always seems to be, you know, popping up as a great idea, and, you know, this I guess it would have made Falcone just all sorts of riches and some wonderful stuff, and now it's just done.
Yeah, well, he can start something else.
Yeah? Is that much money?
If I was him, I'd get into shipping.
Ah, of LNG.
Yeah, there you go. Start with one boat and work your way up.
Mm. So it looks like, speaking of things that are dead, Yahoo now, it seems that the sale of their Asian units are breaking down, this whole Alibaba thing, and everything is just getting just killed. I mean, the whole idea of it was all excited. Everybody's excited. They're buying it to Yahoo. Something's going to happen inevitably, and blah, done.
Poor Yahoo.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Well, the funny thing is it's still – well, it went down to 14.9. It's still floating around the same old price.
And you would have thought that without Jerry Yang in there, that it would have had some kind of pop. Everybody would be excited.
Well, he did. He was just on the board. I mean, he really wasn't doing day-to-day stuff. They've yet to find anyone who can run that company.
Which is just amazing. I mean, come on. How hard is it really to run that company? Can't you get somebody from another company that would say, oh, we could handle that? Or is it just so they have so many different moving parts and so many businesses that are unrelated that it's just a mess? Is that the problem?
That's what everyone says, what you just said.
Yeah.
It's a huge mess.
Just a mess. They just bought everything they could and just didn't put it all together, didn't link it all together. You know, didn't they own Delicious and they sold it off? Or they bought it or something weird,
right?
Yeah,
they bought it and then they changed the name to Delicious.com instead of the cute name it had, which was DEL.ICIO or whatever, .US. And they didn't know what to do with it. Why'd they buy it? I mean, you'd think if you bought something, you would pay a fortune for it. You'd think you would know why you bought it. But they just kind of buy stuff and then say, why did we buy this? Oh, I don't know. I thought you wanted it. No, I thought you wanted it. Well, what would I want it for? I don't know. I didn't want it. Well, what are we going to do now? So, I mean, that seems to be the way they operate there. And it's just not I think Google can be going in this direction. If I just wrote a column on that. I think it was in PC Magazine suggesting Google's starting to suffer from this problem. It's starting to remind me of a Star Trek episode. Maybe it's something in the water down there.
The only thing that's happening different, I think, is that Google's at least folding things in and shutting things off. It's like Yahoo never turned anything off along the way. This kept things running till they just died.
That's a point to make. That's a negative point to make about Google. You should read this column.
All right. You think that's a negative that they turn things off?
No, it's not. It's the way they operate that's a negative. It's not the turning. Yeah, they turn this off and that off, but it's not like I mean, so does Yahoo. They cancel stuff constantly, and then you find out, wow, this is pretty cool. I don't understand why they didn't do anything with it. It's just, you'll see. I mean, just read that and tell me.
I will read it over on MarketWatch, right? This week?
No, this is a PC Magazine column.
Ah, PC Magazine.
Although I did something on MarketWatch. I wonder what that was. I can never remember.
What did you write on MarketWatch this week? Did you write about Apple? No. You wrote about, I'm trying to think what you wrote about. It was probably the death of something.
The doom. Let's see. X3, Dvorak Horowitz, This Week in Tech columns. I've got the channel Dvorak.com usually covers this. The Kodak cameras, rest in peace.
Yes. Now, that's interesting, actually. Kodak decided they're done with the cameras and all that, right?
Yeah, the company that invented the digital camera.
Right, they're done. But they're going into the printing business.
They've been in the printing business for a while, but I think people are misunderstanding that because they also have these cheap little printers for digital cameras that were junk. Literally, I point that out. But they have some of these print-on-demand jobs that, like some of that Xerox does, these huge, you know, warehouse-sized printers that you come in and you say, I like this book. I like one copy of this book and one copy of that book printed, and you get a copy of each book printed and bound at the end of the line there. That kind of thing. It's very, very hot. It's the hottest thing going, business.
So in a day that textbooks are going digital and that we have the Kindle and the iBooks and all that, Kodak is redeploying their force into creating one-off books on demand. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, the way you put it makes it sound idiotic.
Okay. But, I'm just trying to flush through this situation here.
So, yeah, kind of. But if you go to a college and you take a course from a professor, he is going to make you buy books. And the books – and there will be books that are not available on the Kindle, and there will be these books. He'll put together his own reading list, and he'll have the book printed up, and it'll be available to the kids for $40, and he'll be making $20 a book. I mean, it's not – that business is not going anywhere.
Although – might I say that my daughter goes to FSU, and she has a course that she's taking.
There's courses at FSU?
There is. Besides
cheerleading and football and fandom?
And beer pong 101, 102, and 103.
Yeah.
Okay? That she's taking a course, and the professor did exactly what you said. You know, it's his book. You have to study his book. But it is a PDF / ebook.
How much did she pay for it?
$40.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. $30, $40, whatever it was, yeah.
Wow. What a scam that's got to be.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And totally went outside the one-off Kodak printing to just simply download it. This is a special store, too. There's actually a store that has all these kind of books from these teachers.
God.
Online store.
This is our education system as it now exists.
How corrupt is that?
It's totally corrupt. It was corrupt when they used to give out real textbooks that the professor wrote, which used to be very common amongst better professors because they got real writing gigs. And they would, you know, assign one of their books usually, but they weren't overpriced. And they were from a real publisher. They weren't from a textbook scammers. But those days are long over.
So who checks the professor's textbook for plagiarism?
Oh, you can be sure that the students do.
Oh, that'd be great. How great is that? I mean, you can just take little parts of things from other books and just throw together your own book and charge $40, and you have these big old... And then you just have, you know, classy say, hey, I'll take an unlimited amount of students. And online students at that.
Yeah. Yeah, you might
as well. How great is that?
Yeah. No, it's a moneymaker. It's a great business. What a country.
I love that. I do. I love that. I love that. So much for teachers not getting paid enough, you know? That's entrepreneurial, though.
You got to think like that.
Oil going to $300. What do you think?
No chance.
No chance. That's the latest talk. Oil going to $300. You know, you got to
Every time, by the way, every time they've said something like this, that always marks the end of the run. Have you noticed this?
Well, it's the same.
You know, they'll get suckered into getting up to about 120, and then they pull the rug out from under it, and it's down back down to 40.
But right now it's trading at about 101, and this is on the spooking of what's going on in Iran and the Straits of Hormuz and the potential mining, when I say mining, the bombings that are underneath the water that says they're not going to allow that, and Iran getting all, you know, huff about their nuclear program, and Israel and Iran getting all pissed off at each other as usual. And now 300 is potentially going to be the price if, in fact, there is some kind of an outbreak of a real war in Iran.
Yeah, which means it's never going to happen. It's a good time to get ready to short oil.
Well, we are short oil in the little game we play, but we'll see. We're actually still up on that, which is, I think, interesting considering the price of oil at 101. You continue to see this whole continuation of builds and inventories. We're going to see that tomorrow. The Department of Energy comes out with their numbers at 10:30 in the morning. The last couple of times saw builds, although at the same time, which would usually be a bearish indication for oil, oil has continued to move higher.
Yeah, that's where they create this. Yeah, it makes sense to me. They've created a scenario to make it go up so they can get out of it. That's my thinking. I'm only good when the market's a mess. I mean, when it's kind of semi-stable, I'm inaccurate. So, sorry. So let's look at our. Sorry.
Yeah, let's look at. No, I'm just saying you're good under pressure, under chaos and craziness. Okay, let's see. Let's look at our stock list. We're going over to the DH Unplugged Weekly Stocks, which is a little game we play. And I always mention this, and you're probably sick of me saying it, but it is only for a little fun and informational purposes, education maybe. And it is some stocks that we think that are kind of interesting to take a look at, and we put them on our little list here and track them till they are down 10% from their high, a trailing stop of 10% is the way we play this. And we only buy them on Wednesdays, so, you know, or the day after the show at the open. And we make sure to tell you that this is... hazardous if you don't do your homework, and please make sure that you don't take any of this as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. We may own, or clients of Horowitz Company may own, stocks that we mention here, and that will be disclosed on the spreadsheet that is updated through our friends over at Google.
Okay, so we have a lot of little gains and a couple of good ones. Acorn, Monster Beverage, KLA, Tencor, all your picks, of course. You also, the one short you have, which is not really a short, it's a long on an ultra-short ETF, UBS Crude. It's kind of leveling off. Mm-hmm. I only have one in the green, and that's Icon Enterprises. And the rest of mine, even the longs, my buys have done nothing. And although they're not... They've done nothing. They haven't gone down much, and they haven't gone up.
Right.
The only one that you have not done well with is Shutterfly. You're waiting for the breakout price.
Which, yeah, it didn't seem to happen. It's getting close. But Shutterfly actually is acting a little bit strange. We had a situation today where Shutterfly was kind of moving a little bit lower, and it was below our point where we said, you know, we want to trim back a little bit here. And I'll tell you what happened. It was interesting. I'm going to pick a price for you. Let's say $28 was the number. And we said, you know what? It started breaking into 28, and we want to start selling some off. Well, we sold off a little piece, or we tried to, and we hit the in between the bid and the ask, and we couldn't get any off. And we said, that's interesting. Tried to hit the bid, couldn't get any off. Went a cent, 2 cents under the bid, nothing would get off. And I started saying, what in the world is going on?
Huh.
You don't want a situation where you're locked in a stock and it made no sense. So we had to call a few people, get a few things going, switch up markets from ARCA to Island to automatic and smarts and all these different things. And I couldn't get any shares off, and it really started getting me very upset. And we finally got a few shares off, but I got to tell you, it was not a pleasant experience. And I kind of wondered what was going on with that. And I don't know if it was a exchange issue or what it was, but it was not making me happy.
Yeah, I could see that. Wow. Well, that's not a stock to be in. Yeah. At least not if you want to get out of it. So you've got some new ones. You did. You've got. I didn't pick Pete's Coffee.
I thought you did. Yeah.
No, that's yours.
I wouldn't have picked Pete's Coffee.
Okay. Well, I picked it. I'll just stick with it. There's some reason I think I picked it. I think they're moving to China.
Coffee price. Yeah,
oh, coffee. Yes, George. I don't know. I don't remember doing it. So we got some new ones from you. We got Trina Solar, an ADR from somewhere or other.
That's a China.
China. Okay. $9. Carbo Ceramics. Mm-hmm. Oh, Frack. See, I won't invest in this.
Well, this is basically a company that has had really good earnings until recently. And they make the various, tools. Yeah, that and some of the piping and all that to do the fracking.
Yeah, fracking.
Fracking. And this is in the oil and gas area. And it's pretty they have a lot of potential here, but the stock is just under a lot of pressure. Obviously, there's somebody bailing on it pretty significantly. If you look at the chart, it looks absolutely atrocious.
Hmm. And so you bought it for that reason, because it looks bad?
Well, the company has some really good earnings momentum.
You went with fundamentals.
Yeah, which fundamentals and this market condition, which is at any given time when a stock is down, they'll take it and just ramp it the other direction. Hmm. That's in this market, right now.
Okay.
It could end at any given time.
But with that in mind, you shorted Cliff's Natural Resources. I had a Cliff bar the other day, and it was pretty tasty.
Really? Yeah. This is an iron ore company, and Valet
I felt chunks of iron ore in it.
Did you? Was it crunchy?
Yeah, maybe.
This is a question mark. And I'm not really thrilled about shorting right now in this market. Cliff is one of those stocks that a lot of people like, and if the global economy gets better, how exciting and all, and potential buyout candidate. And it was in Barron's 2 weeks ago as, hey, this great stock. But it's underneath the level where it should be shortable. It's underneath. I think it closed underneath its 50-day average today. It was down about as much as 4% today on the market selling off, and then at the last 20 minutes came back about 1.5%. And the thing is, though, that this whole materials play right now is really under a lot of pressure for a whole host of reasons. And iron ore prices have been dropping. And so anyway, this is a question mark, but we'll put it in there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Bank of America.
I got that. Yep.
I'm going to go with Zynga.
Oh, you're going to go Zynga Long?
Yeah.
Okay, they came out with earnings today,
Yeah.
And they're down 5% on that. They but that doesn't mean that they're going to do badly, because Fossil came out with earnings. They were down 6% and then turned around at 9:30 this morning. It was up 14% by the end of the day.
Well, there you go. We'll take a shot at it.
Yep. Zynga Long. Okay,
what's
good.
What's the worst that can happen? We're not really putting any money into this. Just shaking the dice.
Yep, shaking the dice.
So there's also a couple of there's an unusual company, and I've decided to make a pick once a month. I'm going to pick one of these.
Yeah.
Where somebody drops millions and millions of dollars into some company as an insider.
Yeah.
And I got another one here. This is what I did with my conservative bet with Carl Icahn. Halozyme Therapeutics.
I wouldn't even know what the symbol is.
H-A-L-O.
Halo. I like the symbol. I'm going to say insider buying. Insiders buying, which is good, because right now insiders have been selling at a pretty good clip recently. Bank of America, the reason we're buying that is everyone's buying it.
Yeah, I'm just getting on the bandwagon. It's a bandwagon purchase. I say Sergey Brin sold $50 million of Google. It's kind of interesting. I figure he needed to go shopping. He went to, he has to go to Safeway.
Oh, yeah.
He needs some spending money.
Yeah, a little pocket change. Facebook, Facebook Play.
Yeah, Facebook Play.
On Zynga. So I put a little notes on there. Okay, good. All right, well, we got a pretty full list here. We got stopped out of Amazon, which is really interesting because Amazon comes out with bad earnings. And they come out with revenues that are under. They come out with projections that are questionable. And the stock goes down for 2 days, and then that's it. It's all over.
Yeah, that was a bad short. That's a good one, not to short. No, I've learned my lesson.
Same thing with Google. I mean, Google, it goes down, and everything in this market is anything that goes down is a buying opportunity. In this condition right now.
Yeah, I agree. That's why you don't see me shorting anything.
But the beautiful thing will be on the short side is those stocks that shouldn't be moving up as much will just get crushed. So you got to kind of make that shopping list. You know, you got to keep that thing up to date.
Keep it on the side. When the whole thing collapses, these babies are going to be in the toilet.
Because you know what? The markets may go up to, I don't care, the front page of Barron's at 15,000, right? Jeremy C. goes out again with another one of his, you know, Stocks for the Long Run, his book, and Stocks Always Move Higher, and they put that on the front cover, which is kind of like the kiss of death in a way. But nonetheless, comes up with the idea that the Dow Jones is going to hit 15,000 within about 2 years, and it gives it about a 50-50 chance of it doing so, which amazing that they put that on the front cover of Barron's with a 50-50 shot. Hmm. And, you know, but at the same time, you look at, you know, all these different stocks that are moving up just because they're moving up, the big just inertia play like your Bank of America. But, you know, markets do cycle. They don't go up forever. They just don't. And that doesn't mean they're going to crash either. They're just, you know, they move up, they move down, they move up, they move down. And oftentimes when they move down, the ones that are unworthy of moving up to begin with get crushed the most.
Yeah, well, so that's what I'm banking on. But
keep that list.
I'm banking on it too heavily. Yep. I'm just keeping an eye on Apple. Apple looks to me like the eventual the great short of the 21st century when it hits like 800.
800 splits 8 for 1, right? And then where does it go from there?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I sure wouldn't be short in that stock.
No. There's just no reason to do so right now. It's due for a pullback, like I said. But once you get that first few pullbacks, what's going to end up happening is those people that wanted to buy in at a lower price are just going to plow in. So you're going to get another rise of it a couple more times. And then, you know, you'll have this exhaustion move. You know, it's bound to happen. It was down actually for a few minutes today.
What, the point?
I don't think it was even that. I saw it down like 0.03% for a little while today.
Wow.
I saw red for a while. I'm like, uh-oh. Everybody bail on the markets. Get out of the way. The world is ending.
It's a little stock that I like. I was just looking at the various. I didn't realize it was on. It's got a trend line. It's all headed south, and it had a big jump up. But it's a company I've always liked. Hop Hog
Digital. Yeah, they're actually from my Hop Hog New York,
yeah,
Long Island.
Hop Hog.
They make like modems and.
They make specialty cards and all kinds of cool stuff, and they've always made a good product.
You want them on your list, HAUP?
Yeah, let's. Put them on.
Okay, this is because I like the company.
I just like them.
Company. Can't pronounce the name.
I can't. I usually always pronounce it wrong. I always say Hopage.
Yeah, Hopage. They had a great. They were a few towns over when I was growing up, and they had a great cheerleading squad, the Eaglets.
The Hopag Eaglets. The Eaglets. Eaglets. I can't even pronounce that. Jeez.
The Hopag Epileptics. Yes, yeah. It was a wonderful cheerleading squad. They moved around like you couldn't believe.
Yeah, had a heck of an act.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, we'll get those on. We have a very, very full list of stocks here, so everybody should check those out and see what we're doing to track what it is that we are doing. And I want to thank, by the way, a lot of people wrote in thanking us for a few of the recent picks, IPG Photonics, which is one that you panned recently but has done very well, broke out nicely, and a couple others. Well, we're still waiting for that Crocs move.
Crocs.
Still waiting for the big Crocs move. So, and then ESI has just a buttload of short interest. Just an absolute, a 17-day short interest. So if that thing does move, and when it does, it was up 4% yesterday.
Wow.
It with a good market, that could get squozing like a orange ready to pop.
Okay.
We shall see. All right. Well, I'll see you next week. Happy Valentine's Day.
And happy Valentine's Day to all our listeners. And yes, next Tuesday.
And a big kiss from John and myself.
So long.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.